You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, we will continue tonight with our airing of the audio portion of Linda Thompson's tape, Waco 2, The Big Lie Continues. And you should pay very close attention to what you hear on this tape, because I've told you this before. The Texas Rangers have been investigating what really happened at Waco for 6 years. For 6 years. And I'm telling you right now, what they have discovered is going to make you cry. It will all be coming out in the next few weeks. The dam is going to break. We were right all along. Those people were murdered. And we had all the facts within just a few weeks of their deaths. We've been telling the American people ever since. No one would listen to us. They called us right-wing, extremist, radical, terrorist, militia dudes, or some such bullshit nonsense like that. Well, they're all going to have egg on their face. And we're not only right about Waco, we're right about Oklahoma City, we were right about Ruby Ridge. We're right about the direction the world is going. We're right about the New World Order. We're right about international socialism and communism. Somebody better wake up real quick, because we're also right about what's going to happen to them if they don't. Take it to the bank. It's worth gold. And somebody's going to eat it, I guarantee you.
CAN targets religious groups around the world for hate campaigns in the media. CAN members always make the same allegations against each group they attack: perverted sex, child abuse, and brainwashing. It reads like a worn-out script. It has been repeated so many times against so many different groups. CAN receives funding through the Anti-Defamation League. The Anti-Defamation League was recently indicted in California and Virginia for illegal spying on United States citizens and engaging in covert information gathering activities in conjunction with law enforcement personnel. By saying what CAN wants to hear, disgruntled former members quickly enlist CAN's aid and the media's ear. At the urging of these former members, it was CAN who had complained to Texas authorities that the Branch Davidians were abusing children. Even Sheriff Harwell of Waco knew that these allegations had already been investigated twice and found to be baseless.
There was really no evidence of child abuse. There's only allegations. And again, I say today that we have not ever found any any proof of any child abuse out there.
Rick Ross, one of the Cult Awareness Network's so-called deprogramming experts, had continuous access to FBI negotiators. Shown here is an example of Rick Ross's expertise as a deprogrammer. Rick Ross is a convicted jewel thief and is presently under indictment for kidnapping. He has no known credentials to support his claim as an expert, yet the FBI allowed him to advise on the course of negotiations while ignoring advice from numerous theologians and genuine psychological counselors. The media, without apology, became tabloid sensationalists, regurgitating what the government told them and parading the all-too-willing detractors before us to reinforce the lies. NBC has twice run this excerpt, the same edited scene of bullets coming out of the wall, claiming they obtained a home video called Waco the Big Lie from a man who lived outside the ruins at Mount Carmel.
Roadside vendors include John Ellis, who sells this home video using news footage in an attempt to prove there was a government conspiracy to get the Branch Davidian.
They showed this handwritten label to emphasize that it is a homemade video. Unfortunately, the handwriting on that label is Linda Thompson's handwriting, the chairman of the American Justice Federation. She hand-wrote the label when she sent the copy of the tape to NBC, the day American Justice Federation finished the tape. This proves that NBC had the tape since June, and not only has refused to show it, but is instead committing fraud to discredit it. Not only do we have press that cooperates with the government and lies to us, we found three instances where unlawful force, including deadly force, was used at Waco by the government to keep the press out. On the day of the raid, an unidentified reporter was beaten. This is an inexcusable and illegal abuse of the right of the free press. And why would the ATF risk beating this reporter in this manner? We can later see the body of an agent in a truck. This is the same body and truck that were later filmed leaving Mount Carmel in scenes shown on the news. What is interesting, however, is that there don't appear to be any other cars in the area as there were after the raid, so the time this scene was filmed is important to learning when this agent really died. When Linda Thompson was leaving the press area in Waco, she was stopped at one of the roadblocks and detained by this ATF agent, who kept an MP5 submachine gun, his finger on the trigger, pointed at her head in the car. She snapped this picture and hid the film before the ATF agent illegally searched the car. Another example of how the government deals with the free press that aren't hand-picked to tell you lies. And if the Branch Davidians, after being fired upon by helicopter, having their windows broken in, grenades thrown into their homes, and ATF agents firing upon their children, did finally fire back, they have Texas law on their side, which says, Texas Penal Code, Subchapter C, Article 9.31, Self-Defense. The use of force to resist an arrest or search is justified if, before the actor offers any resistance, the peace officer uses or attempts to use greater force than necessary to make the arrest or search, and when and to the degree the actor reasonably believes the force is immediately necessary to protect himself against the peace officer's use of or attempted use of greater force than necessary. The FBI quickly moved in to seal Mount Carmel from the world. Before the day ended, an armored personnel carrier was brought in, and the Branch Davidians' communications were quickly cut off, making sure the world would not know the Branch Davidians' side of things. The FBI had no warrant allowing them to block any communications whatsoever, yet the Branch Davidians' phone lines were immediately cut off and routed directly to the FBI. This is a felony under Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 2511. The FBI knew the Branch Davidians had ham radio and CB equipment and jammed these communications illegally as well. Media was kept 2 miles away, and the only news the world would hear would be the official story told by Agent Bob Ricks of the FBI at a press conference each day at 10:30 a.m. in Waco, attended only by the press that the FBI allowed to enter. The Department of Justice report admits many of the things that millions of Americans saw with their own eyes in Waco, the Big Lie, a videotape produced by the American Justice Federation about what happened in Waco. The Department of Justice report admits that the Branch Davidians were tortured for 51 days and their property systematically destroyed. The night of March 21st and the early morning hours of March 22nd, the FBI cleared vehicles around the compound, played loud Tibetan chants on the loudspeakers, and used the external floodlights. Peter Gent was shot on top of the water tower. His body was left there for days. The government's report reflects that the government repeatedly refused the Branch Davidians' request to remove his body. The report admits that while we were being told the Branch Davidians wouldn't come out, the Branch Davidians were being told by the FBI that they could not come out. It admits that if anyone came out of the house, agents threw concussion grenades at them. On March 25, 1993, the negotiators told Schneider that no one would be allowed to come outside the compound. The Department of Justice independent investigation was no more independent than the Treasury report. Edward Dennis is an attorney who represents the government in various cases and had cases pending before the Department of Justice at the time he conducted the so-called independent investigation. Worse, he admits in the report, "I have primarily relied upon the record gathered by the department as the basis for the conclusions in this report, supplemented by a number of follow-up interviews." But he says he's satisfied that the factual inquiry by the department was conducted in a thorough and objective manner. We obtained a videotape made by one of the FBI SWAT teams. Due to time constraints, we can't include the whole tape, but you can obtain the entire 50-minute FBI SWAT team video from the American Justice Federation, which provides surprising intelligence information.
Here we are down at Waco, Texas. It's Monday afternoon. We just got in last night. Getting ready to be checked out on some helicopters here. Because we're part of the helicopter assault team. You see different drill birds here.
Waco, Texas, baby.
Waco, Texas, Helicopter City, getting ready to go out on an operation here.
Yeah.
Training mission. You wait for your folks back home there, boys?
Welcome, Waco! Good
morning, Waco! You know, one of the birds getting ready to go. We're going up with an eight-man team. Four people in each bird. Tents. Medevac point here. Yeah, in a second, I'm going to get a long shot of Satellite City down there.
There they are. Boys getting ready to go.
Hey,
get ready to go up in the bird here and take a look over the area. And then in case we do something,
was the FBI posture one of concern for the children? We found this candid interview with an FBI agent the morning of the fire particularly insightful.
Quite a specimen, I tell you. I just, in all my years involved with SWAT, I've never seen a gentleman like this that I've learned so much from in just the short time I've been around him. It's just awesome is about the only word to describe him.
Honed to a fine edge, honed to kill.
The techniques used on the Branch Davidians are well-known brainwashing techniques. Cut off all communication with the outside world, all utilities, all food supplies, and subject the person to extreme stress. Lights, noise, tanks charging the windows, and constant propaganda on loudspeakers. As this tape segment from BBC reveals, various psychological weapons were available to the Justice Department and were examined for use on David Koresh.
Two Russian psychologists have been brought in from Moscow to demonstrate a technique for analyzing the human mind and then influencing it. The concept is that with an understanding of an individual's mind, keywords transmitted in music or white noise will force that person to obey. The FBI examined the system to use against David Koresh at Waco in Texas.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard some key testimony here. One, you heard the FBI agent say that they were going up in the helicopters to provide air cover. Everyone who's ever served in the military or with the government knows that air cover means firing down from the air, from the helicopters. That's what that means. If you don't believe me, ask anybody who fought in Vietnam, who had anything to do with helicopters, who has had anything to do with the government providing air cover from helicopters or from aircraft. They'll tell you the same thing. You also heard another FBI agent say that he was a finely honed killer. Honed to kill is what he said. Honed to kill. Does that sound like your concept of what we've been taught is the FBI? I don't think so. And then finally, they brought in Russian brainwashing and psychopolitical mind manipulators to work against the Branch Davidians. Folks, you've got to wake up. You just have to get out of your slumber somehow. If you need something, if there's something that I can do to help you do that, please let me know. Because that's my mission in life.
CNN said.
And they use some intangible tools, analysis of voice patterns, deviant behavior analysis, different kinds of tools that allow them to develop the their confidence with the person they're dealing with.
In November, Janet Reno was a speaker at a secret conference on this type of mind control weapon and other so-called non-lethal weapons, including weapons such as laser guns designed to blind, extremely low-level sound waves that can cause violent debilitation, and microwave radiation weapons. This in the United States of America. How many of these weapons were actually tested on the Branch Davidians? The FBI SWAT team video captured the sounds of one of these psychological warfare devices.
Here we are. It's Wednesday afternoon. We're here at the Y intersection. It's a checkpoint at the Y. Agent Meredith. See the Davidian compound is straight up ahead there. I don't know if you can hear the noise on this tape, but that's some of the noise being made up there by the compound. You hear helicopter off in the distance there.
This footage is from the FBI SWAT team video. It was a piece of equipment used by the FBI. We have included this footage in hopes that someone can identify what it is. Let's watch that again in slow motion. As much as 10 days prior to the fire, a government agent is seen testing the wind using a smoke grenade. The government, as usual, claims this, too, is a Branch Davidian. If so, it is a Branch Davidian dressed in a dress shirt and slacks, who casually meanders around the yard about 50 yards from the house in full view of the armed federal agents surrounding the house. What of the final day of the fire? A fire break was cleared by the tanks completely around the house. A fire break is a clear area, free of brush and debris, to keep a fire from spreading outside the cleared area. This fire break is easily seen in the overhead picture of the house after tanks cleared out the bushes and cars.
Down here, we have slowly taken away everything around that complete compound.
The Department of Justice report admits that, Tear gas was inserted into all windows of the compound through the Mark V's, in the two CEVs, as well as by ferret rounds launched from the Bradley vehicles. Ferret grenades are 40-millimeter mortar rounds, which would easily kill anyone the rounds would hit. And the gas used wasn't tear gas. The Justice Department has now admitted it was CS gas, a gas banned for use in wartime by a treaty signed by the United States in January 1993. It is a gas that, according to the manufacturer, should never be used indoors, ever. Perhaps these 55-gallon drums of kerosene, and whatever this other substance in the black drums with red stripes is, provide the answer to what was really used that day. The FBI SWAT team says these drums belong to the FBI hostage response team. As these shocking pictures show, the FBI hostage rescue team had set up a sniper nest in the barn outside the house. Sandbags lined the walls, and rifle turret holes have been made in the walls to sniper fire out at people. A match-grade ammunition box, a high-quality ammunition used by skilled snipers, is on the ground. Someone has made marks on the wall like you might see made when a gunslinger makes notches in his gun for each kill. The FBI SWAT team film shows us the sniper positions in a barn out back of Mount Carmel.
Bonnie Ness, Johnson, Oak Ridge,
the entrance to the garage, it's back rooms, sleeping and eating quarters.
Yes,
all the weapons storage area. Directly ahead is Starfleet into one of the three sniper positions.
During the morning of the fire and throughout the day, reporters announced that up to 20 people had been seen escaping before the fire. 21 people were found shot.
With our long-range camera, we did see some people scurrying out. We couldn't tell how many. It was shortly after that that we heard that there were 20 people who had come out. It was after that that we heard from the Justice Department over the wires that they were saying there were only 8. They are probably being careful and understating things for the beginning. Let's hope so.
Listen to the FBI SWAT team tape as the fire burns. Shots can be heard from nearby and echoing off the house. That means the shots were being fired at the house, not from the house. One reporter heard a gunshot in the distance, which can clearly be heard on camera, too.
Did you hear that? I don't know.
The independent fire investigator, Paul Gray, formerly had an office in the ATF building for 10 years. He carried a card that said ATF fire investigator on it. His wife is employed as a secretary for the ATF, and he attended the funeral of one of the dead ATF agents. He found that persons inside the house started the fire. This now well-known scene of a flame-throwing tank was shown in Waco, The Big Lie, and occurred at approximately 11:40 a.m. the morning of the fire. Another tank is around back of the house shortly after the flame-throwing tank was seen out front. You can see flames coming from this tank, too.
What you're not seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is it's showing the tank actually throwing flames and lighting things on fire.
There is no smoke coming from the front of the house yet. Shortly afterwards, smoke is seen coming from the back wall where the flame-throwing tank had been a few minutes earlier. White smoke billows from around the tank and back. Soon, the entire back is engulfed in smoke.
Again, you can't see the video footage, but it's showing...
The front window was the last of these three fires to begin burning.
Showing all the points where the fire started. And at every point...
At the same time this fire was already breaking out in the back of the house, as you just saw, a tank was at the front door. As this tank backs out, flame can be seen shooting from the front of it.
At every point where the fire started, there was a tank or a government agent with tanks on his back.
Let's look at that again.
In other words, flamethrowers.
The tank then goes to the side. As the tank withdraws, it appears to have a human being speared on the end of the gun, which it quickly shoves back into the building. As it withdraws the gun again, boards snap off, obscuring what appears to be a body from view. Notice, however, that the board and the back of the body, or whatever it is, are on fire. We'll show that again. FBI agent R.J. Craig testified at trial that he was driving this tank. Not surprisingly, he's also the person who claims to have seen a Branch Davidian inside start the fire. In an interview conducted by a private individual at the ruins of Mount Carmel with one of the men who was driving a tank the day of the fire, the tank driver said he saw what appeared to be an FBI agent inside the house.
Tell me what happened the day of the Mount Carmel fire.
Well, the guard got the orders early in the morning, actually the evening of the 16th, that we were to come down here mobilized. The morning of the 19th, as you all know, started a bombardment by the orders of the Attorney General, FBI, and ATF, saying that this had to be taken immediately. Their story was they were supposed to help these people out and save as many as they can.
It's right up here because the wind's blowing so hard.
The issue orders were to, of course, shoot tear gas into the buildings. We were supposed to hit it from four corners of the compound, and after we hit the order, there was a sign about, I guess it was about 11-something that morning when we saw the fire start at one of the southeast corners, and we saw somebody wearing a black outfit similar to ATF and FBI, but, you know, we can't say what it was.
Did you see the letters FBI on it by any chance?
What I saw, letters which looked like it, is all I can tell you, because you're looking from a little porthole, you know. And after that, it was just amazing. The whole thing just went up.
Both the interviewer and the tank driver's identities are known to us, but we are keeping that information confidential for their safety. At trial, an FBI hostage response team agent, Kenneth Lancaster, claimed to have seen a Branch Davidian who looked like Elvis. Perhaps he was referring to this agent on the roof. Lettering is barely discernible on the back of his jacket. He also has a device of some kind larger than a gas mask. As he jumps down from the roof and walks away, his head and hair appear quite tall from the fireproof Nomex hood he was wearing. This is similar to a type of fireproof hood sold in police catalogs, shown here. As the fire burns, watch as this tank backs out and the area above the gun simultaneously. As the fire burns, watch as this tank backs out and the area above the gun simultaneously begins to burn. We'll play that again. A tank can be seen through the trees, shooting flames to light a portion of the building that isn't burning. Let's look at that again in slow motion. Before, during, and after the fire, agents can be seen coming and going around the house. The Justice Department referred only to combat engineer vehicles, called CEVs, when asked to explain the flame-throwing tanks last October. Janet Reno said that CEV-1 and CEV-2 had no flame-throwing equipment and had been inspected by the investigators. She neglected to mention that the Justice Department report says CEV-2 broke down, and the team of that vehicle obtained another CEV which was not equipped for tear gas. It failed to mention what it was equipped with, though. And the report doesn't mention at all the other tanks and CEVs and equipment they were carrying that day either. This is a picture of an M67 flame-throwing tank from Jane's Armor and Artillery 1979-80 edition, which military experts have identified as one of the types of tanks present that day. One of the characteristics of this tank is that it has a fake barrel extension on the end of the gun to disguise the flamethrower. This tank, parked alongside the ruins after the fire, seems to fit the bill. It has had a bulldozer blade and a boom arm attached to it. Notice the charring on the front, too. Besides that, in the Department of Justice report, the government absolutely, positively, and unequivocally asserts that it did not accidentally set the fire by knocking over any lanterns. Someone was certainly worried that the public was learning the truth. The government was taking a serious beating from public outrage after Waco, the Big Lie, was released.
We've seen an example of police state America in what happened at Waco when they used flame-throwing tanks and CS gas against American citizens, which is against the United States law.
Federal agents are charged with murder, or even if there's an investigation.
Let me let people know that we will have a complete showing as soon as we go off the air.
Stand Up America, this is Dave Frank, and welcome.
Going in the minister's office to inform the minister of the fact.
Do you think that three of these agents were killed by so-called friendly fire or killed by another agent So that is there's no evidence of that.
Until there's no evidence of that, that they do not believe that any of them were killed by friendly fire, that it all came out of the compound.
You don't believe this video film that's being shown around indicates that?
No, I do not, and the investigation does not confer with that.
There was a discussion about the William Thompson video leading to speculation in some quarters that the government either inadvertently or by design ignited the fire at the compound. The report deals with that video in some detail and dismisses that speculation. It draws no conclusions on the video. It appears to show flames coming from the front of the tank. If those aren't flames, what are they? What's your conclusion on that?
We've seen the video, and obviously it raised our eyebrows and caused the same concern with us as it did with, I'm sure, any of you that have seen it. We have submitted the video for expert analysis to the to a local university, the University of Maryland. I can only tell you what they told us preliminarily, and so that this is very preliminary. First of all, as I'm sure you'll see in the report, is the vehicles were not outfitted with any type of flame-throwing capability. Secondly, is that the only way that a flame could have come from the front would have been through some type of busted hydraulic line or something like that. We looked for that. We did not find that. Yet, hang on a second. Yet you still see something. I'll be the first one to concede that. You see something. We have asked the experts to take a look at it and to come back with another independent assessment, which you will get. That's forthcoming, because we only got the tape kind of late on in this whole process. The preliminary assessments are, and I'm going to stress preliminary, are that there were dispersal agents that were used to disperse the gas. And when I say gas, really, CS gas is not truly a gas. It's a particulate. And so that it's like a powder that falls on an area and spreads out. It takes a dispersal agent to then project it into an area. The dispersal agent used in this was a gas, carbon monoxide and something else, that was heavier than air. And so what you see on the video is, instead of seeing a flame rise, which you would expect because of the heat, you see something drop. And the preliminary opinions are that is the dispersal agent, which is, by the way, it's questionable whether that's flammable, but the general consensus is it's non-flammable. And apparently that is a light, perhaps it's dust, perhaps it's a defect in terms of the way the video was taken, and it's the dispersal agent falling to the ground. Yes?
Some people in R&D, military sources I've showed that video to, have told me that that's not a conventional vehicle, that it was, to use their words, jury-rigged at Fort Hood for the express mission at hand in Waco.
That's
really
true.
Were there, is that correct?
It was. It's a boom that was rigged. There were two vehicles. There was CEV, Combat Engineering Vehicle 1 and 2. CEV 1 was rigged with a boom to be able to insert gas into the second level, CEV 1 into the first level.
Are there any safety parameters and performance standards established for that vehicle before it was taken to the site?
I'm not sure how to answer your question on that one. I mean, did this boom in any way alter the vehicle's already known safety standards? Is, to the best of my knowledge, the answer to that is no. It in no way altered.
Contributed or possibly caused an ignition source because they didn't know its performance standards.
We looked at that, and that's what we addressed in the report. We had the people take a close look at that vehicle, the very same one. We saw no problems, no indication of fire, first of all, and we saw no busted fuel lines, no change capabilities. We looked very carefully at that vehicle, and we saw nothing like that.
You don't think that was flame at the front of that tube in the video?
I don't know what it is. I have to be honest with you. I at this moment, I don't know what it is.
There's other video that's taken from the... Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And let me say one more thing just to finalize that. The fire did not start at that location, and that video that you saw was taken approximately 30 to 45 minutes before the fire began, and the fire did not start at that location.
Well, that reporter was asking these questions. The representative of the Justice Department bold-faced lied. He said there was only CEV-1 and CEV-2. CEV stands for Combat Engineering Vehicle. We have videotapes and photographs of flatbed trucks carrying at least 10 different armored vehicles and tanks of several different kinds into the so-called compound, which was really nothing more than a church, at Mount Carmel in Waco, Texas. We've always been able to prove this. We've done it on many occasions in many videotapes and photographs, and many people have written books on the subject and published those photographs. And so that's not a contention. So this man just blatantly lied. And also the woman who came up to the reporter while he was talking and silenced him told him that if he didn't change his line of questioning, we have equipment here where we can equalize out different segments of sound, and so we were able to isolate her voice. What she said is, if you continue your line of questioning, we'll have to ask you to leave.
Forces just keeps popping up. Soldier of Fortune magazine claimed the flames on the flamethrowing tank were mere reflections. This magazine's principal advisor is Colonel Beckwith, founder of Delta Force, and the editor, Robert K. Brown, is former Delta Force as well. Reed Irvine of Accuracy in Media made the bald-faced claim that the flamethrowing tank in Waco, the Big Lie, was doctored. He declined an offer to have the footage analyzed. He, too, writes for Soldier of Fortune magazine. Beau Greitz, former Special Forces and a self-proclaimed patriot, was the first to claim the flames on the tank in Waco, the Big Lie, were just a reflection from debris and that the CS gas caused the fire. Tom Donahue and Ron Engelman, radio announcers who were fans of Beau Greitz, made the same claims, as did Carl Wigglesworth of WOAI Radio in San Antonio. Wigglesworth brought in James Pate of Soldier of Fortune to ambush Linda Thompson on a radio program. 2 weeks before the Branch Davidians trial, a tape suddenly surfaced that claims to show that the scene you just saw was only debris on the tank, not fire, and that the fire was accidentally set because the tanks accidentally knocked down a gymnasium wall, causing a collapse of the gymnasium, knocking over a lantern. We call this the Mrs. O'Leary's cow theory of the fire. Soldier of Fortune magazine, in its February 1994 issue, touts this tape and reproduces these pictures. In the first infrared picture from the tape, which Soldier of Fortune claims proves the gym was collapsed before the fire began, there is an arrow pointing to an area where the tape claims that half the gymnasium appears to be gone. However, under the letter A, there should be another building, but that building is gone too. Between the front of the house and the gym, there should be four other buildings, but they are missing too. And look at the area where the gymnasium is supposedly collapsed. There's no roof line, no outline of the foundation, nothing. Only what looks like rubble bits. This picture doesn't show a collapsed gymnasium. It shows a completely missing gymnasium, just like the other five supposedly missing buildings. The second infrared picture, taken a few minutes later, is taken from a different angle. The building that was missing under the letter A in the first picture is now visible. All of the buildings between the front of the house and the gymnasium are visible, too. What caused the gymnasium to disappear and all these other buildings to disappear is distortions in the infrared film and clouds between the source camera and the building.
What she's talking about now is McNulty's doctored video, the one that he intentionally came out with in order to attempt to discredit Linda Thompson, but which he digitized and changed through computer manipulation a lot of the truth of the videos, and put forward portions of the video where the FLIR would not work through clouds or moisture in the air to try and show that entire sections of the building had disappeared. The only problem is that later in the same tape, they reappear when the clouds have moved out from over the church at Mount Carmel.
Soldier of Fortune claims their experts agree with this tape. Some experts. And the O'Leary's cow tape claims that the fire began in the gym and that there was a natural progression of the fire. As these easy-to-see pictures clearly show, the gymnasium was one of the last buildings to catch fire, and it is still plainly standing more than 20 minutes after the fire starts. This is a full view of the buildings in the early morning before the fire started. The gymnasium is the building with the A-shaped roofline. Notice the A-shaped roofline is facing you. The O'Leary's Cow Tape and Soldier of Fortune magazine, page 4, show us this picture as proof that the gym was collapsed. Notice that you see sky below the left edge of the building and nothing behind it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that there are serious problems with this enhanced picture. The O'Leary's Cow Tape also tries to prove that the flames seen on the front of this tank aren't flames, but are merely a reflection from debris. The O'Leary's Cow Tape does this by showing this heavily digitized footage. Notice how much better quality the picture seems than the original. This is impossible without computer enhancement.
What it also shows, ladies and gentlemen, is when the tank backs all the way out, that the reflection is not on debris, it's on the tank. And I've got to tell you something. The United States Army does not use any paint on any tank that will reflect any light whatsoever. Tanks cannot be in battle reflecting light. That gives their position away and ensures their immediate destruction by any anti-tank team on the battlefield. Now, there's no narration here. It's just letting you see what they're showing in this video. What they're showing is that the whole front of the tank is reflecting sunlight.
The source for the pictures publicly admitted that he had digitized the pictures. Even in the O'Leary's Cow Tape digitized picture, though, the flame can be seen while the tank is still in shadow. No reflection can create a light source in shadow. And better yet, the government's infrared pictures show a tank out in the yard at exactly the right time that plainly has a bright, hot spot across the entire end. Like fire, maybe? And in the O'Leary's Cow Tape, they ignored these proofs of the flamethrower visible in their own footage. So who has a motive to cover up here? Some congressmen tried to get answers after Waco, the big lie, came out. They were assured that there was no direct military involvement in the siege. It is illegal to use military against U.S. citizens under the Posse Comitatus Act, 18 U.S.C. 1385. These answers to congressmen claim that military equipment, training, and support may be provided to law enforcement under another law, 10 U.S.C. 372. However, even this law forbids active participation by the military. The replies these congressmen received were assurances that there was no direct military involvement and that no Army equipment was loaned with operable weapons systems. Active Army forces did not operate helicopters, tanks, or other armored vehicles, nor were such forces actively or directly involved in actual law enforcement operations. No one but an experienced member of the military could have fired these mortar shots in this pattern. Shown here is one of those so-called inoperable weapon systems delivering one of those 40-millimeter rounds. The FBI SWAT team video shows this Marine with an FBI agent.
We're just here to help.
The FBI SWAT team video plainly shows active duty military gassing the tanks and preparing to get in the tanks the morning of the fire.
Something that most people missed, even the producers of this videotape, is that that Marine officer said, "We're here to take over." And I believe that's exactly what happened. I believe special forces of the military of the United States of America took over on April the 19th and destroyed the Branch Davidians, killed them all, destroyed all the evidence, or at least they thought they did. You're going to find out in the next few weeks that the Texas Rangers may be the last and only honest and respectable law enforcement organization left in the United States of America.
Any problems? No problems at all, no.
And here, active duty military are plainly flying the FBI helicopter and Army evacuation helicopters.
We're going up with an eight-man team. Four people in each bird.
What this video clearly shows, folks,
here is one of those so-called inoperable weapons systems.
Is that the military was operating all of the equipment.
After the fire, we have several scenes that show active duty military emerging from the tanks. Many are wearing dark maroon berets, just like those consulting 7th Army Special Forces from Fort Bragg wear. This is a portable flamethrower, which was used in World War II and in Vietnam, particularly to blast underground bunkers. The tanks are worn on the agents' backs, similar to what can be seen in these pictures during the siege at Waco. A better view of this type of outfit is seen as an agent gets out of a tank.
What you can't see is an agent on top of a tank putting a flamethrower on his back.
The camera cut away here, but when it returned, the agent is being assisted by another agent.
To put a flamethrower on his back.
In this scene, two agents obviously are dragging what appears to be a body, but this does not appear to be a rescue. As they reach the far side of the tank, you can see that one of the agents has a portable tank on his back and engages in a spraying motion. Suddenly, fire flares up. This is a thermite bomb. Variations are known as incendiary grenades. It explodes on impact and burns with extremely high, intense heat made of either phosphorus or magnesium. After the fire is nearly out at Mount Carmel, agents approach the concrete building that used to be inside the house. An explosion can be heard and flames and smoke erupt from the concrete building. Notice that the agents don't take cover or run away as they would if this had been an unexpected explosion. In any crime scene, great care is ordinarily taken to preserve evidence. Yet during the fire at Mount Carmel, tanks constantly pushed debris into the fire. Afterwards, the entire area was bulldozed and all the underground tunnels were filled in. And continuing to show the same careful regard for the preservation of evidence as demonstrated earlier, and with a total lack of respect for the humanity lost at Mount Carmel, an agent relieves himself in the ashes beneath one of the tanks that was used to destroy the Branch Davidians. Ironically, that night, as Mount Carmel still smoldered, President Clinton spoke in Washington, D.C. at a dedication of the Holocaust Museum dedicated to the people tortured and murdered by the Nazis in Germany. It is especially ironic that the Branch Davidians were attacked the same day, 50 years later, that the Nazis had attacked the Warsaw Ghetto in Germany. And it was 50 years to the day after the Nazis burned the Warsaw Ghetto that Mount Carmel was burned to the ground. As Bill Clinton commemorated the memorial, he said,
"The Holocaust began when the most civilized country of its day unleashed unprecedented acts of cruelty and hatred abetted by perversions of science, philosophy, and law. A culture which produced Goethe, Schiller, and Beethoven, then brought forth Hitler and Himmler, the merciless hordes who themselves were educated as others who were educated stood by and did nothing. Millions died for who they were, how they worshiped, what they believed, and who they loved.
Was he talking about Nazi Germany, or was he talking about Waco, Texas in 1993?
Be sure and tune in on Monday night as I tell you the new developments in the investigation of the Waco Massacre. I hope this has affected you. That's the end of the tape. There is no more. I hope this has affected you. Because if this does not, what will? What will? How many people have to die? How many people must suffer this kind of oppression in a country where it could never have happened, or at least we all thought it could never have happened. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you all. God bless you, Annie. God bless you, Pooh. God bless you, Allison. I love you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have 80 of these videotapes that we never knew we had until just the other day. If you'd like to have a copy, send $35, $35 blank money order or cash to the Hour of the Time. That's the Hour of the Time in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, that's P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. 85925. Once again, that's $35. We only accept blank money orders or cash. Send it to the Hour of the Time, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Oh, and you better hurry, because we only have 80 copies of this tape. That's it. And I'm keeping two of them for myself. If you'd like to know in advance of Monday night what those new developments are concerning Waco, go to our website at harvest-trust.org. harvest-trust.org. Do it right now if you have the chance. It'll wake you up really good. Give you a cold shower. Next April? Next April 15th. If you can't find a law passed by Congress making you liable to file and pay the income tax, listen to me. Don't file and don't pay. If you do, you're a stupid coward sheeple. No guts. No money. No future. What if a city...